It's going to be a beautiful day today, so I thought maybe we should sing.
When my early morning day begins.
I mean, you can sing whatever you want, but this one is the one we're singing.
The sunlight hits my face. I've got the sound of WGN. 720 locked in place.
Then what'd you do, John? Tell him.
Now I've tuned to you. And the day's all right with me. Yeah. The voice and wake up call. I know that it can only be the Steve Cochran Show.
The many voices of John DeCoste on the road doing stand-up. He'll be back next week. It's 6:13. In the news, Bernie Sanders refuses to leave completely and has not conceded the Democrats' race to Hillary Clinton, but they had a summit meeting, and he's going to work with her. He's getting closer. You got to give him time, but he's getting closer. I agree with Donald Trump.
Oh, okay, wait, what?
I agree with Donald Trump. Why are you surprised by
because
that?
Because I just had to gasp for a moment.
You have chest tightness? Some numbing in your left arm?
Some tension right
possibly
here.
Possibly some odd perspiration you weren't expecting?
Getting a tickle in my throat.
I agree with Donald Trump in regards to the fact that terrorists shouldn't have guns. I know that's a crazy notion, but Donald Trump said it. Donald Trump said he's going to talk to the NRA. Donald Trump said that if you're on a terror watch list, you shouldn't get a gun. Now, I'm willing to compromise. Here's my compromise position. If we're going to let terrorists or potential terrorists on watch lists get guns, then here's what I advocate. We eliminate the TSA.
Eliminate the TSA?
Yeah, TSA goes away.
How?
Eliminate metal detectors. Eliminate the TSA. Wear your shoes all damn day. Just walk right on a plane. Just get your ticket, walk on a plane. You got a ticket, get on a plane.
That's crazy. You can't do that.
What are you talking about? It's no crazier than the fact that anybody on a terror watch list could buy a gun.
Oh,
it's completely fine.
I see where you're
so
going.
We eliminate the TSA. The lines, by the way, are better. I got to give the TSA credit and Senator Durbin and everybody that's been working on this credit because the lines at the airport, really, they fixed the problem already.
Yeah,
and
did.
We were going to have the summer from hell. So since we're already on the way to fixing the problem and since Congress doesn't want to do anything, let's eliminate the TSA. No more TSA. Because if you have the confidence as a member of Congress or as a gun owner, that you're going to roll the dice that somebody on the terror watch list has a constitutional right for a gun, well, then I'm willing to roll the dice that they're not on the plane either.
I see what you're doing.
Take it right off the plane. So no more security. Zero security. You know, let's just live free. We're free. Let's live like free Americans. Free Americans with all our constitutional rights to be free.
In theory, that's a very interesting idea.
That's what I'm saying. No more TSA.
Boy.
I'll bring it up to all the important authorities later. I will advocate this, though, between now and Monday when four different bills will be voted on in the Senate in regards to common sense gun legislation, even though I have a pretty good idea where Durbin and Kirk are going to go on this. Let all of your congressional reps know how you feel between now and Monday. It's a phone call. It's a one-paragraph email. And it's easy to find out who your congressional reps are. If you don't know, you just put your zip code in. Who's my congressional rep in the whatever the zip code is? Mm-hmm. And it'll come up if you're not sure. Durbin and Kirk's office is also easy to find. Just Google them up. I mean, we give them down the air, but frankly, it's faster for you to Google them and just do what you need to do. So get a note or a phone call into your congressional reps by Monday. Even though it's only a Senate vote on Monday, the House has to deal with it in some form.
By the way, when are you going to take your mental competency test?
I think next week Dr. Michelle Epstein will be back in town.
Okay.
And then she will give me a mental competency exam at some point shortly after that. And then I will insist that Governor Rauner will be on this morning. Governor Rauner and my favorite guy, Mike Madigan.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't found anything I agree with him on yet. I agreed with Trump before I agreed with Madigan.
Have you found him at all?
No, he's impossible to find. Remember that Where's Waldo thing where you'd have to look for the hat? We should have like a red striped hat on Madigan to see if we could find him because he's not available.
Even if you found him, I don't think he'd run.
Where in the world is Carmen Madigan? Remember Carmen Sandiego?
Carmen Sandiego, yeah.
So Cullerton, Madigan, Redonio, Durkin, and Rauner. I would ask them all to take the same mental competency exam I'll take. Because really, if you don't have a budget in this state and you're letting the state burn, there's got to be something wrong with you.
I think Redonio, Rauner, and Durkin would take it. It's my guess.
Redonio Round. Yeah, yeah, I would
think
so, too.
And I think Madigan wouldn't even take your call.
Madigan won't take my call, and Cullerton will try to intimidate me, which how do you think that's going to go? It's 6:17. Let's get to traffic. Mary's here with it. So, Mary, no more TSA. Just right on the plane. Keep your shoes on.
I don't know about that. I don't think I'm going to be flying then.
No, I'm telling you.
No. You go first.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay.
I'm rolling the dice.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers. We won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show.
And we'll take whiny staff questions as well. See you guys on the show. If you have a whiny staff question for Lou, you can get to those in just a second. Let's go to Mr. Manfredini from Channel 9. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Happy Father's Day.
As you as well.
As a matter of fact, the bear just texted us. Lou and Steve, happy Father's Day.
Oh, that's very nice.
Well, you too, Dave. You too. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you, Steve. You too.
Yeah, happy Father's Day to all the fathers.
What are you doing for Father's Day?
We're going to be together with the entire Manfredini family. Actually, it's my lovely bride's birthday today. And so we're
27. You are way over
my
skis.
Oh, please. So over my skis. And, yeah. And,
how has she not thrown you out by now? How long have you guys been together?
We just celebrated 26 years.
Yeah. I don't like your chances. I think you're still in the probationary period.
I say that every day, Steve.
Yeah.
Every day.
Good for you.
Yeah.
So you're lined up with a big family dinner, or everybody's going to hang out all
day?
Yeah,
we're actually having all of her siblings and all of the kids, and we're having a little dinner party this evening, a little Mexican fiesta.
Oh, it's nice. Who's cooking?
Actually, we're having it catered. And we're gonna.
You do know you said that out loud.
I know. Well, it's a big party, and it's, it's going to be fun. It's a big birthday.
Is it? Well, no. 27 is.
27 is big.
All right, let's get to the callers, shall we? Gary's standing by with your first call. And, you know, Lou's on every Saturday morning between, what are you on, 7 to 3, 2
7,
to 9?
Yeah, 7 to 3. But it's funny thing, it's all the way to 3, but they turn the transmitter off at 10.
Ah, come on. Right. So 7 to 10. And sometimes it's tough to get through on Saturdays. So way back in something we called the 2000s, Lou and I started doing this Lou's First Call thing on Friday afternoons.
Right after Cake Gate.
Exactly. On Friday afternoons, we do Lou's First Call, so you could get in. And this is Gary. Lou is Lou's First Call of the Week. Good morning, Gary.
Hello. My question has to do with a sunroom.
Uh-huh.
I have a sunroom that faces north and a entrance to the house, of course. And on the east entrance, I have a walking off a deck. What I want to know is what is the best flooring for a sunroom that has a lot of sun in it, and also entrance from an outside, which would be snow and rain. Would it be like linoleum, tile, or indoor-outdoor carpeting?
Well, let's get you an answer here. Stand by. Could he rotate his house?
Well, actually, we did a story on House Smarts once. There's a guy in San Diego that built a rotating house, he and his wife. It is actually the most interesting thing you've ever seen in your life. The house does a complete 360 and can go either way.
So you could have sun wherever you wanted.
It's the coolest thing I've ever seen in my entire life, honest to goodness. But he can't because it costs a fortune.
Mm-hmm.
But what you could do...
Well, you don't know. Gary could be independently wealthy.
He could be
a billionaire.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Tile is probably the best bet for something like that. And what you want to try and do is maybe look for something that's a little bit... has a more... not a rough surface, but a textured surface. So, for instance, on the back, we have a screened-in porch / sun porch on our home, and I have a random pattern slate floor that has been there now for 15 years, and it still looks great. It's not slippery. It holds up really well to different kinds of weather. I mean, it's a little involved to put it down because it's a tile floor. But it's very forgiving, and it's something that doesn't get installed as often as it used to be. It used to be quite popular back in the 60s and 70s, but it has made a huge comeback. And even recently, there was someone that came over and said, wow, I love this floor. What is it? I've never seen something like this. So just like any kind of trend or design, it comes back, but it's very it's classic, and it's a great choice.
All right. A couple of texters in just a second. Lou, how do I get rid of the clover in my lawn? I've been putting down fertilizer, but it's not working. It's taking over. It's clover, Lou. It's taking over.
Yeah.
Any tips?
So naturally, if you want to try and do that, we need to change the pH in the soil. And so I've talked a lot about this product called Magic Cal by Jonathan Green. And you could pull as much of the clover as you can up, then apply this Magic Cal. It'll take a good 3 weeks for that to start to take effect because at the same time, you want to overseed the lawn and have the lawn take over the clover. If you want to do it chemically, then Ortho makes a clover removal concentrate that you can buy at the hardware store, put that in a sprayer. You may kill a little bit of the grass. It's not designed to do that, but you might. So it's a little bit more involved. But if you want to do it organically, try the Magic Cal.
Hey, by the way, I'm thinking about opening a sprayer bottle kiosk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because here's why. I didn't feel like going into Lowe's or going into Home Depot or going into the big boxes the other day.
You wanted to go to the Ace.
Well, I was going to go to the Ace, but the Ace is a couple of miles farther away, so I was being lazy. So I roll into a...
You got that Chevrolet that's smooth and
I mentioned
beautiful.
I was being lazy.
Oh, all right.
So I go into the Walgreens and the Jewel, because that's where I had to go, to the Jewel and the Walgreens.
Okay.
No spray bottles anywhere. Why couldn't Jewel have 10, 12 spray bottles sitting out?
Did you look in the hair aisle?
Oh.
That kind of spray bottle?
Yeah, just an empty spray bottle.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a pump sprayer like those that are old enough to remember the what's called a Hudson sprayer.
Why is it always about you? So, now, this is not going to surprise you, Mayor. I don't always go into the hair aisle.
Yeah,
But that is
it was
idea.
Funny, Mary, when you said that. I was like, really?
So that, but there,
he doesn't even know where that aisle is.
Are there always spray bottles there?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And by the way, don't start with me receding.
I know.
All right, so Gary, hold on. Gary's a big winner. All right, let's go to whiny staff question, starting with Sandberg. What do you have?
So we have some wrought iron patio furniture, and there's a battle on if it needs to be covered every night or not.
No.
Thank God.
No.
All right, good.
If it's finished.
It is.
Yeah, so if it's in decent shape, covering, I mean, the only thing you would cover if you have cushions.
No, there's no cushions.
Yeah, so no, the wrought iron, I mean, it will.
It's designed to be outside, right?
Correct. It's called outdoor furniture.
Okay.
Right.
That's
right.
My argument.
Right. That would be the key.
Hey, Lou, by the way, last weekend I did the grill thing that you taught me to do. I laid the tin foil over the thing. I cranked that bad boy up on high.
Then
I crumpled up the tin foil and just gave the grates a scrape or two and sprayed a little something on there. Clean
works
as a whistle.
Works great.
That's what my husband does all the time.
Clean as a. Whiny staff question number two, Dave.
Lou, wait. My buckthorn is exploding.
Okay, wait a minute. I didn't just say that.
Why are you so hung up on your buckthorn?
He has been asking about his buckthorn.
No,
God, man. Get a new
topic. That's old. All right, so just had the outside of my house painted.
Okay.
The soffit and fascia. Painted white.
Look at you dropping the big word.
And now I'm finding these little white flakes coming down.
You thought about Tegrin maybe? Or?
Dandruff.
From the top of the house?
Really?
Yeah, your house has dandruff.
Does that make any sense to you? What it might be?
The little white flakes. You're not seeing any peeling of the paint?
No. It looks great, but I just
was
like...
Was it snowing in your neighborhood?
Is it that pollen stuff floating around?
No, I thought it was maybe that cottonwood or something.
Is the soffit and fascia, is it wood or is it aluminum that they painted?
It's wood.
Wood.
What color is your fascia?
What's that?
What color is your fascia?
That's white.
Okay.
Well, we'll put some Chamonix on there, I guess, maybe.
No. Okay.
The white flakes, all I can think of is
what,
that
you get, like
is
the paint from a garage sale? Like half a full cans?
Right. It sounds to me, well, I think what I would probably do, Dave, is check if you can get on a ladder or someone, go up there with a small, like a shop brush or just a little broom, and see if anything comes off when you go back and forth. There could be, maybe they didn't clean the soffit well enough and the paint's not adhering. And then if that's all of a sudden you brush that off and you're like, wow, I'm getting all this residual paint off, I'd have the painters come back and pressure wash it all and repaint it.
Yeah. I'm not going up there, but.
Okay.
Did you have it professionally done?
Yes.
Apparently not.
No, he's very good, the guy who did it.
Will he come back and fix it?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay. Use the brush thing and see what comes off.
Okay.
When you do that.
Thanks.
Do you floss your house? Because maybe you should floss.
Only three times a day.
Okay. Right.
Any other whiny staff questions?
I have no questions for Lou other than to say that he's the best.
Oh, stop.
Love you, Lou.
Happy birthday to your wife.
Thank you.
April Air Wi-Fi thermostat. Not for her. She has one. Allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone. It's brought to you by American Weathermakers, home of the 60-Minute Man. Call 855-955-HVAC. You going to be at Channel 9 here in a few minutes?
I will.
I'm excited about that.
God bless you.
You hold the line, and Lou will be on tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Dr. Lars Dingman has a unique talent he will share with you shortly. First, we'll come back with the big story on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own.
You are listening to station WGN.
Dr. Lars Dingman's going to ask me about music. This is one of my songs. Matter of fact, when I'm elected president, it's going to be my walk-in song for the State of the Union address. Good morning, Dr. Dingman. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. Thank you for having me on your program.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Now, didn't I help get you started in this business?
You did. It was several years ago. I was doing political speeches and speaking at colleges. I happened to be working at the car wash out in the suburbs for the summer. I washed your big Tahoe or something.
Yeah, it was a Tahoe. That's exactly right.
And you pulled me aside and said, kid, get into radio.
I said, can you come in and do the show?
Yeah.
And then you started doing speeches around the country and all that. So
yeah.
So you're in town this weekend because you've relocated to Los Angeles, I know.
That's true.
And you're in town this weekend to do a couple of shows, and you were on with Ro Khan yesterday. Wouldn't you at least do this show first?
Now, that was a talent. Let me tell you something. The medium of radio has been around almost 100 years.
Yeah, 100 years.
But this Ro Khan,
yeah,
he knows what he's doing.
He's something else.
It was a refreshing break. From I travel around the country all the time, and
sure.
Most of the time, the DJs or hosts, whatever you want to call them, puny.
Not good.
No, like good. Mice among lions.
Right. Well, listen.
No,
of course.
Mouse. Many mice among
one
lion.
Nobody cares about the analogy. So just so you know, I'm kidding, obviously. We love that you're on with Ro. We love that you're on the station because you provide such important information. So after the traffic, what is it you will read for us? Because he has a psychic ability. It's a very unique psychic ability. And on first blush, you may hear this and go, well, that's a bunch of nonsense. I'm here to tell you, ooh, the man has skills.
Mm.
Skills. And I spell that the hip way. SKILLZ. You know what I'm saying?
I thought you were going to spell it with a Y.
Skills.
Are you going to change when you become president? You're going to change how people spell? I think you should.
It's a good idea.
Put your stamp on the culture.
Yeah, spell check for every American. All right, so tell me now, what is your skill?
Steve, I'm able to read people's future through a complicated scientific process that I won't burden you with right now.
Uh-huh.
Basically, people tell me the last three songs that was randomly played by them, by their digital player, and I'm able, from those song titles, to intuit their future, because the universe is built upon vibration, and music, like everything, is a vibration. I'm able to interpret that.
So the last three songs that have played on my phone.
Yeah, Ro got it instantly. He understood what I was saying.
So he didn't have to ask for a follow-up?
No, he clearly understood. He's, yeah.
All right, so we'll all be read here on the show. We can take a phone call for this, too.
We welcome to take live phone
calls. 312-981-7200 is the number.
But no texting. Texting is ridiculous. It's
actually, the texts that are coming in of this dad question is great. I said, what's the thing you really did to disappoint your dad? And the best disappointment or two, we'll give the dads prizes. We got some great, terrible, disappointing children.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
No adults.
Family dysfunction is always entertaining.
Yeah, you won't be hearing it because you won't be on then. But when we come back, more with Dr. Lars Dingman.
Hey, I don't know where to go. I can
where's the show?
The show is at the Laugh Factory on the up the northern side of the city at 8 and 10 tonight.
The Laugh Factory, Chicago?
Yeah.
At 8 and 10?
Yeah.
All right. Do you know how to get tickets for that?
I believe they go to laughfactory.com. They can also go to...
Are you guessing that, or you actually know what that
website
is?
Wait, let me think. No, that's exactly how you would do it.
Okay, so you got that vibration as well.
Yeah.
All right, traffic first, Mary, and then we'll come back and be psychically read through the music on our phones in a moment. Dr. Lars Dingman is here at 6:53. Dr. Dingman, again, if you're just waking up. Has a unique skill where he is able to predict your future, my future, through the last three songs we played on our phone. And these are songs played randomly.
That's the key.
Well, hold on. I might need a microphone for that. Try me again.
I saw that coming.
That's the key?
That is the key, because it's the universe's way of communicating with you through a digital portal such as your phone. It's exchange of vibration. which I realize it sounds, if I have more time, I could explain the science behind it, but just trust me that it works.
All right, let's start with Andrea. The last three songs on your phone.
Okay, I just checked on my shuffle. It was Paint It Black, Rolling Stones, Meghan Trainor, Me Too. I have a wide array of music on there. And I was listening to some Prince, Delirious.
All right, so it's Delirious, Me Too, and Paint It Black.
Yes.
You've heard of the term painting the town red.
Yes.
When people go out and have a wonderful time and have crazy time. Paint it black means your personal life is boring.
Oh, okay.
What?
Yeah.
Why does it mean that?
It's drab and dreary.
That's not a nice thing to say.
Listen, I only speak the truth, and I'm here to help you.
Okay.
What this is saying is, me too, I lead a boring life. I could be doing so much more, but instead of painting the town like a unicorn or a zebra, you're painting it like black. No light, no fun. It's not what you want.
Well, instead of criticizing, do you have a suggestion?
Yes, I'm getting to that. Delirious is where she wants to go. You understand?
Right.
Delirious is the kind of footloose, fancy-free you were in college and your younger days when you didn't care. You would go out and have a good time. Now, perhaps stresses at work are weighing down on you.
Oh, that's good.
And it's hard for you to shake off that shackle. What I would suggest, you need to change your vibration and make your life lighter and more spontaneous. So if you would stand up.
Oh, gosh.
You want her to stand up now?
Stand up, yeah.
Stand up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, here we go. Stand up.
Stand up.
Okay.
Now take your arm, your fists and right on your sternum.
Right on my sternum.
On my sternum.
My décolletage?
Yes, your décolletage.
Okay.
And I want you to hit A440. That note is... faster. Faster. No, stop, stop.
Not higher, faster.
You're making noise from your throat.
It hurts.
I wanted to come.
Doctor, if I could just ask, what does this do?
Hurting my décolletage.
What it does is by beating on the décolletage.
Yes.
In this manner.
Yes.
It changes her core vibration.
Okay.
Right now, because she is shrouded.
So that's going to make it for a bit more fun Friday night?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
But does she have to do this on Friday night or just this?
I would suggest, well, she didn't do it right yet.
Okay.
The noise has to come from your solar plexus.
Oh, no, but in the interest of time, let's have her do that off the air.
Okay.
Yes, you need
to
do this every morning before you brush your teeth.
Okay, so change my vibration.
Change your vibration.
And beat my décolletage.
And beat your
Got it.
Yes.
Listen, I know you're mocking me.
I'm not
with
mocking
your tone.
You.
No, I know you are.
Mary,
I'm not an idiot. Steve.
Mary, do you have three songs that you recently have shuffled through?
Thank you, Doc.
I was doing Prince songs, too, because I was looking for something for a dance thing I was
what
doing.
What are your three?
So I had Raspberry Beret, Purple Rain, of course, and Let's Go Crazy.
Those are pretty good.
Yeah.
Raspberry Beret, Purple Rain, Let's Go Crazy. Now, completely different than yours. Because listen, these songs, these are all uplifting, up-tempo, Let's Go Crazy. She's already living a wild and crazy life.
She's listening to this for somebody else, for a party, she said.
No.
Oh, you're going to a party this evening?
No, no, no. It was a dance thing I was putting together.
But they're her songs. They're her songs.
Yeah, these are your randomly songs, which means your life is filled with more energy and craziness.
So she needs to tone it down. Vandeveld needs to tone it
down. Yes, if there was a way to merge the two of you, I think Vandeveld is too purple is... traditionally, the kingly color, the reedy color.
Yeah, she's out of control.
What about the raspberry?
Raspberry is a version of purple.
True.
If a raspberry holds its breath too long, it becomes purple.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's true.
Ow.
That's fantastic. Dave, do you have three songs?
I don't have songs on my phone.
Oh, so someone with no songs whatsoever, what do you make of that?
Just stay home.
All right, fine.
Yeah, okay, don't even
you
thank
stay
you.
With me, Dave.
Don't even try.
We can paint the town black.
Call with me. Come on.
All right, I have the Staple Singers' "Respect Yourself."
That's a good song.
Three times. I just listened to it over and over again.
Okay, respect yourself. I feel that despite the jolly frivolity which you project on the radio program every day, inside you're a burnt out shell of a man. Have you ever had like a fire in your fireplace and you go to bed before it's completely done?
Sure.
And you wake up the next day and there in place of the roaring, beautiful fire is just a big pile of ash.
So I'm a big ash pile.
Basically, what I'm saying is you've given your energy away and now you're just what's left. You're good for compost, maybe, what you need to reconstitute your energy and become on fire once again.
Yes. So the worst possible scenario would be on a Friday night if I took Andre to dinner, because with my big ash pile and her depressing music, everybody at the restaurant would be crying within 5 minutes.
Everyone's food would taste slightly off.
And my lack of vibration and your ash.
Big ash pile.
Yeah. Which I believe was your high school band.
Yes, it was.
Wasn't it? Yeah, I see this. You were a musician in high school, and Big Ash, and you were a cover band. You played who was it?
Are you having a stroke?
No, I'm trying. When I hear these song titles, Steve, I hear the mocking tone, but when I hear these song titles, little movies play in my head.
I understand.
And when I see Big Ash Pile High School, I see you with long flowing hair.
Yes. Yes, yes.
And
it's been a while.
I believe it was a Steppenwolf cover band.
Bachman Turner Overdrive. There were only three songs. It was a short concert. All right, so
I never think of the Canadian bands. That's my problem.
Unlike the Rose Show, we're out of time.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
With 7, with 6, Trey driving, stops, puts up a jumper for the tie. No good. Ola the rebound, put it back up. Yes. Got it! Alex Ola with 1/10 of a second.
Nobody better than Dave Ennett. And the good news is he never takes his meds before a broadcast.
No, never.
Joining us now, the Big Kahuna of Northwestern Sports, and that actually is his specific title, Jim Phillips. Good morning, sir. How are you?
The business cards reflect that title, Steve. I want to tell you.
Big Kahuna. Hey, congratulations. Very cool day out there yesterday, and you got some big plans for Welsh Ryan Arena. So what are you going to do?
No, it's fantastic. It's really a venerable old arena that needs a facelift. And if you've been in there, it's such a great atmosphere for college basketball. It's intimate. It's on campus. It really reeks of everything that's great about college sports, the students and the rest. But it really needs to be updated. And with the generous support of Shirley and Pat Ryan, who've been incredible, and Steve and Sue Wilson, we're able to do it. It's a $110+ million project. It'll all be about the fan experience from the day or from the moment that you park your car and walk to the entry through the new plaza and then into the new lobby. And then obviously all the amenities that, fans expect in 2016, concessions, restrooms, video boards, new seating, seating's going from 23 inches in between seats to 33. So, gives you a lot of room. It'll go more vertical, so you'll get more on top of the court.
And get rid of the bleachers and doing seatbacks, right?
Yeah, doing seatbacks, Steve, and getting rid of the bleachers. And then we're going to do a really nice practice facility and back for the student athletes and the four programs that play in there. But, you know, people think about just basketball at Welsh Ryan Arena. We also play volleyball there. We have wrestling matches. But it's really a community arena. We have multiple high school graduations, so Evanston and New Trier and the local North Shore high schools do their graduations there. It's an event or it's an arena that has concerts and some of those types of things.
And Jim doesn't know this, but I have a key and I like to take my friends out there and shoot around.
Yeah,
you can because based on the last time you were in the arena, clearly, you have the most skills of anybody at WGN.
No, the sight lines are strong for a shooter like me. Here's the thing people need to understand, because we get caught up in tradition like every town does. And Welsh Ryan Arena is tons of tradition with it. But the charm of tradition has to be melded with the realities of today. And that's why I like the plan, because it seems like you've addressed all the specific needs here, along with keeping the thing in the same place, because you could knock it down and put up a whole new building, or you could do it somewhere else off campus, and you decided not to do that.
Well, we did, and we did a lot of research on it. When you think of college basketball and you think of the great venues, Cameron Indoor, where Duke plays, they renovated that. Allen Fieldhouse, where Kansas plays, renovation. Pauley Pavilion, where UCLA plays. I just think there's so much to be gained by keeping a beautiful structure and redoing the interior. And so that's what's exciting. And having it on campus where our students can walk over to games.
It's a big deal.
Having it accessible. It is a big deal. It really is. So it's incredibly exciting. You couple that with what we're doing on the lakefront. We're doing nearly $400 million worth of athletics projects, and it's necessary. But I'm really happy for our student athletes and coaches.
Well, I would bet. Talking to Jim Phillips from Northwestern, will anything on the in the new plan be named after Dave Ennett?
Well, there was a race to see whose name was going to be on that facility. It was either the Ryan family.
Welsh Ryan Ennett.
Or it was going to be Ennett. And the Ryans ended up, you know, giving a dollar more than.
I'm
okay with that. I really am. I'm fine with that. Jim, the thing that's amazing about this is you're getting this done and you're going to be ready to go in fall of 2018 if all goes well. That is seems for a job of this magnitude to be. Really a fast timeline.
He's got Manfredini working on it.
Well, he must.
It really is. But we're going to get Lou and his crew. Yeah, he's going to be working the night shift for us throughout that 18 months. So let Lou know that. I haven't had a chance to
done.
Call him yet.
Done.
But it is Dave. But we wanted to be aggressive with this. And there was some talk about maybe we should just do it in between seasons over two or three seasons. And we didn't want to do that. We want to get this thing started. We want to pay full attention to that 18 months, get it done. It'll force us to move out for a year. And as I told some folks yesterday, we're going to be the traveling Harlem Globetrotters. Every night you're going to see us in a different arena. And I just want to make sure the Washington Generals show up, you know, when we get ready to play. So,
well, we know with the coach you have, you don't need the Generals. You're going to be just fine.
It'll be good. And we're going to get into Chicago some, obviously, with our basketball program and some of the venues that the great city of Chicago has to offer. So it's a wonderful moment in our history. It's a transformational project. And I think, you know, is the last missing piece for us from a basketball perspective. We have the top 10 university in the country. We have a great conference in the Big Ten Conference, and we have the best sports city, you know, in the country in Chicago. And so we just needed to get the facility right. We're going to get it right, and it's
exciting
times.
It's
going to be a great day when we open that new arena up.
Jim Phillips, we love the partnership. You know that, and thanks to you for being on this morning. But congratulations to everybody at Northwestern. We have the governor standing by. We don't want to make him wait, and I know you don't either. But
I don't either.
We'll call you at home and finish the interview there.
You got it. Take care, Steve.
All right, buddy. Thanks, thank you,
Jim.
Governor Rauner next.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
The show is always open to the leadership of the state to discuss the problems the state has, and there are many. Let me check with Sandberg. And Sandberg, how are we doing on Mike Madigan's booking? I know we ask every day. Any news at all? Okay. All right, then. All right, well, then let's go right to Governor Rauner. Governor Rauner's standing by because he was willing to join us. Good morning, Governor. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm fine. And, you know, it'd be nice if Madigan showed up occasionally to talk. I appreciate when you do. And we hope to open the schools this fall on time. I was at my eighth grade niece's graduation yesterday, and I was thinking about this great 100-year-old school. This school and all CPS schools. In all schools around the state. I mean, what's the situation with education? What are we going to do?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the reason I wanted to speak with you and your listener, Steve. But we're asking people all over the state of Illinois right now to contact their legislators, to contact their state senator, contact their state representative, especially if they're in the supermajority and work underneath Speaker Madigan. Contact them and ask, let's pass two bills right now so our schools can get open on time with full funding of the foundation level from the state. There's no excuse for holding our schools up. They should open on time with more money. We've introduced a bill to do that. The other thing we've got to do is make sure that our essential human services, our government services, our public safety services, our road maintenance and bridge repair, that continues to occur despite the fact that the supermajority didn't pass a budget. We've introduced a stopgap temporary budget to get us through January. That bill is sitting in the legislature. We're asking everybody to contact their representatives, senators and in the House, who are in the supermajority, come back to Springfield, pass these two bills so our schools can open, our teachers can be paid, and our essential government services can continue to function.
Why is that a problem? Why is that not being met with, that gives us more time to work out our differences, no matter how ridiculous the differences seem to the general population as this thing stretches out? What blowback are you getting on this?
No blowback at all. What we're hearing from the leaders in the supermajority has been the same thing they've said. You know, President Cullerton, the head of the Democrats in the Senate, said publicly at a speech at the City Club several weeks ago, he said he doesn't want the schools to open on time around the state unless the school funding formula for the distribution of money gets changed dramatically.
All right, so it's more politics.
Chicago public schools get a lot more money to get bailed out. That is patently unfair to taxpayers in the suburbs and downstate. That's just not fair.
Well, this should scare you as a parent. I mean, you know, this takes the whole college question off the boards for the moment, because the college question is completely legitimate, too. How are the state-funded schools going to be able to open and stay open as you prepare to send your kid off to the next phase of life? We're talking about secondary education, we're talking about high schools, we're talking about elementary schools, we're talking about the standard ability to be able to say it's fall and my kid's going back to school. And here you are, a parent in what ought to be one of the greatest states in the nation. And to your mind, Governor, and mine, I know, certainly is, and you don't know if you're going to send your kid to school in the fall. Look, I never in my life thought I'd be supporting a temporary stopgap budget, but it seems like this is the only answer.
No, that's exactly right. I never thought I would either. I want a balanced budget for the long term with reforms for our political system and to grow our economy. That's what I've asked repeatedly. My requests have been rejected for term limits or fair maps or pro-growth reforms. They've been patently rejected. So at this point, I'm just asking, look, let's get through this phase. Let schools open on time. Let's get our universities funded. Let's get our K-12 schools funded. Let's get essential government services operating. Let's get through this phase. The leaders in the supermajority have said that they don't want to vote on reforms or balancing the budget until after the general election. They want to wait until after November. They don't want to be held accountable. They want to get a massive tax hike done without reforms, and they don't want the voters able to respond to that until after they're already back in office. So they've said no reforms, no balanced budget. And the tragedy, the real tragedy, is because Chicago public schools, which I care deeply about the students there, deeply, and I've been active for years, but because Chicago public schools have been so mismanaged financially for so long, they're operating in massive deficit, and the supermajority is trying to hold up all other schools from opening on time unless there's a bailout for Chicago schools. That is just not fair. That's not right.
Governor, what you've kind of described this as a bridge plan that allows schools to stay open and keep the lights on, obviously. Where is that money going to come from, specifically to pay for the homeless programs, the domestic violence programs, and the senior citizens' real estate tax deferral program?
Yes, exactly. Great question. The answer is the money is in the government account. It's there. You know, we bring in $32.5 billion every year. So we have strong tax revenue in the state. Unfortunately, the supermajority wants us to spend $40 billion. We bring in $32.5 the supermajority wants us to spend 40. Well, that's a big problem. It doesn't work. We've been doing that sort of bad management for years. But at this point, the money is in our education accounts. The money is in our human services accounts and government operations accounts. But it can't be released unless the supermajority votes for appropriation bills. That's what we're asking. Release the money. Don't pad it with extra spending. Don't put on extra spending or bailouts for Chicago or other shenanigans to try to force a tax hike. Don't do that. Just pass our two bills that are fully funded. The money is there. They won't force a tax hike next winter. The money is there now. We can have government work until January, and we can have our schools open for a full year on time with a full foundation level. Pass those two bills, and we can deal with the rest of the budget when they're ready.
So if there is a standalone bill for education, will that negate a property tax increase?
Each school district handles its own property tax decisions. Our proposed spending level for schools funds the full foundation level for the schools for the first time in 7 years. We are advocating the most money for schools ever in the history of Illinois. I'm a big advocate for schools, and we need more money in the schools. And the good news is we have the money. It's in the accounts. Now, Chicago has been so financially mismanaged for so many years. The school system here in the city has been run more as a patronage operation than it has an education system. I've been furious about it and fighting for this for 25 years. They've got their own issues that they've got to deal with, and they've got to correct their mismanagement.
We got less than 2 minutes here, I know, but what I want people to hear here is the following. Your turnaround agenda is not a part of this. There's no fine print that is some surprise language for the Democrats. What you're talking about is specifically funding education and getting the schools open on time this fall, as well as some of the other programs that Andrea brought up. That's it. All the other stuff that we've been fighting about and the reason we don't have a budget and it's no, it's him, it's not me, all that's off the table. This is specifically about getting the schools open. Doesn't solve the problem, but it buys us time.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I'm not pushing for any reforms that are so desperately needed as part of this. I'm not advocating anything other than get the money that's in the government today and available. Fund our schools fully, get so they can open on time, and get essential government services operating through January. That's all
right.
All
right. So before I let you go, everybody should contact their state reps today and just simply say the following. Why wouldn't you do this? And ask for an answer, not some generic, well, we've got other considerations. Why wouldn't you do this? Because if you don't do this, I want to know why. And if you don't tell me why, I'm certainly going to withhold my support when the vote comes up. But I'm also going to likely not vote for you and campaign against you. You have to do that. You have to tell folks. You don't have to be rude about it, but you got to tell these elected reps you're paying attention.
Exactly right. That's in the end, they respond to what the voters want. We need our voters to get engaged. The people around the state get engaged in this process. This is a critical time for our schools and for our human services. They need to be funded.
All right, Governor, I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thanks so much, guys. Take care.
Governor Bruce Rauner, the reason I asked about the fine print question, because, you know, is there some other, you know, is there some other language in either of these bills that says, oh, yeah, and the pension? Or, oh, yeah, and trial lawyers, or, oh, yeah, and this or that. Mm-hmm. No, this is specifically about getting the schools open. And while the funding in the city of Chicago schools and the calculation for the funding in the city of Chicago schools is important, what parents need to know is their investment in college is a wise one. What the schools need to know is they're going to be able to remain in business, which is thousands and thousands of jobs as well. And what you need to know as a parent is you're going to be able to send your kids to public school, which you're already overfunding privately. You know how many fundraisers parents in Chicago have to do just to have programs in these schools? It's outrageous.
And this bill is fully funded.
Both
so you wouldn't
bills.
Have to borrow anything. Exactly.
Both of these bills are fully funded. So again, if you buy into any of this, and I'm not sure why you wouldn't, and you care about whether or not we're going to open the schools this fall, get a note to your elected rep. Don't know who it is? Simply Google, here is my zip code, who is my state rep? And the office will be an easy link. You can pick it up and then send them an email. And it doesn't have to be a long thing. It's just, you know, a couple of sentences.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Today is Dr. Kevin Most's birthday, our medical guru on the show and my friend. Happy birthday. I would call him and force him to sit through us singing him happy birthday.
But he's
but the tradition on the show is to do birthdays late. And he's on a trip. He's on a weekend situation. He's out of town.
You know what? Do you realize we don't do everyone's birthdays late? We usually do your birthday on time, my birthday on time. Now we do pretty much everybody's birthday late. Yeah.
Pretty much everybody's. But Dr. Kevin Most, happy birthday. If you know Dr. Most, if you have his cell phone number, which I'll give out later in the show, or his home address, which I'll also give out later in the show. Did I mention he's out of town? You know, or if you're on his Facebook page, if he has one, I don't even know if he does.
He does. That's how I knew.
you know, or you could tweet him.
Well.
I don't know if he's on Twitter. But certainly if you work with him or for him at CDH, part of Northwestern Medicine Impact every day, bombard him and fill up his voicemail with happy birthday wishes.
Yes.
Okay?
Absolutely.
Father's Day. How did you disappoint your dad? We'll give away prizes to dads who are most disappointed. Dad let me drive home from college from Milwaukee. He was sitting in the back seat smoking a cigar. I approached a toll booth a little too fast, had to stop fast. This is in the 70s with no seat belts. Dad fell forward, which smashed his cigar against the front seat. He wasn't mad about the speed. He was mad about the fact that he looked like a cartoon with an exploded cigar sticking out of his mouth.
Those are expensive, those Cubans.
Probably burned a hole in the seat, too.
Oh, it's the 70s.
Yeah.
779, I was about 3, and my dad took me to the bathroom. I'm a girl, I should say, because now I'm trying to be careful the way I self-edit this. He had to go to the potty.
To the restroom.
Yeah.
Yes.
He asked me to turn around, but as a curious 3-year-old girl, I turned around and got a look.
Oh.
Yep, I saw my dad's deal.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did he know?
Well, he knew because over the next 6 months as a 3-year-old, I apparently went around to everybody with my tiny Trump toddler hands. Showing everyone how big my dad was.
Oh.
Wow. She didn't have a camera.
She was scarred for life, that poor
Apparently,
girl.
Apparently, yeah. Texter writes, disappointed my dad. How? I'm a girl. Mic drop.
Oh, no. You know, some girls might think that, but I think many are daddy's little girl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Texter, I got caught selling weed in study hall. Yeah, that'll upset dad.
Not cool.
By the way, selling weed takes it to a new level. Buying weed is going to make dad bad enough. Selling weed means you're operating a business.
In his house, if they're in school.
Ay, ay, ay.
Or maybe in the backyard.
A15 Texter writes, the thing I did to my father when I was a little kid, I'd catch garden snakes. And then when I found out that he was afraid of them, I'd walk up to him with a couple of them and scare him. One day I had 3 or 4 garden snakes, and I chased him in the house. He locked himself in the basement cellar, and I let the snakes go under the door.
Oh.
He didn't come out for 3 hours. Probably sound like a Sam Jackson movie.
Yeah, or like a Stephen King novel.
No more snakes in the basement.
Is his name Damien?
That's brutal.
A15 Texter said, Steve, when I was younger, I was riding my bike, went across the street, looked right, didn't look left. I got hit by a car. I thought I'd be in trouble for not looking both ways, so I told my dad I hit a pine cone and my bike spun out.
Oh.
By the way, he's okay, little Tommy. And this one, check this out. Texter from the 224. I borrowed my father's car one night to surprise my girlfriend with flowers. Here's the problem. I'm 15. I don't have a license at the time. Yeah. And there's no flower stores open at 2 a.m. I didn't manage too well until I saw some roses in a neighbor's yard, so I pulled over and stole the roses.
Oh, no.
And after getting to my girlfriend's house, I decided I needed to climb on the roof so she could see her roses through her skylight. As I climbed on the roof, I stepped on the skylight. It broke, and I cut my leg. As I was bleeding on the roof, the police had to come to get me off the roof. My dad had to pay a fine for the repair bills as well and the skylights. I had to replace the neighbor's rose bushes that I destroyed. Oh, yeah, and the girlfriend broke up with me 2 days later.
Wow.
He says, Happy Father's Day. Thanks for not killing me.
This was a text.
That's a text.
I hope he pulled over to text all that.
That's a text. So 224, I think, is a leader in the clubhouse, but those are all good. We got a bunch here, though.
Did you guys ever do that? It's something that extreme to impress a girl? Climb on a roof? And...
No.
Okay.
No. No.
No.
I'm
censoring myself.
I
depended on the fact that I thought I was a jock in high school and also that I thought I was charming.
Did you go to all the dances and stand kind of, you know, along the wall? Like,
yeah,
hey,
yeah, because the dances were usually, you know, on a football game weekend, and we'd have the jerseys on and, you know, our football jerseys, and we'd lean against the wall with our arms folded.
How you doing?
This was way before the lean back era. And nobody danced with us, but we were cool for the whole night.
That's right.
Meanwhile, some little AV nerd was getting all the action.
That was me.
7:47. Back to Mary with a traffic update. And then, how'd the Dalai Lama do when he sat down with Brett Baer from Fox? Did that go well? No. I'll play that tape for you in just a second as well. Would you like me to read this? Dave has something he should read. Dave, you go ahead. What? Nothing for Dave? Me? Nobody?
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
So I jump ship in Hong Kong, and I make my way over to Tibet, and I get on as a looper at a course over there in Himalayas.
A looper?
A looper. You know, a caddy, a looper. Jack. So I tell them I'm a pro jack, and who do you think they give me? The Dalai Lama himself, the 12th son of the Lama, the flowing robes, the grace... Bald. Striking. So I'm on a first tee. What am I giving the driver? He hauls off and whacks one. Big hitter. The Lama. Long. Into a 10,000-foot crevice right at the base of this glacier. Do you know what the Lama says?
No.
Gunga Galunga. Gunga Gunga La Gunga. So we finish 18, and he's going to stiff me. And I say, hey, Lama! Hey, how about a little something, you know, for the effort, you know? And he says, there won't be any money. But when you die, on your deathbed, you will receive total consciousness. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
There's not a self-respecting male in America that doesn't know that scene word for word. Big hitter, the Lama. I remember one time I was trying to impress a girl when I was 15. I stole some roses. I climbed up on a roof. And I stepped through the skylight and cut my leg. And you know what I said? I said, Gunga Galunga. Why are we talking about this? Well, it's U.S. Open week, but also because yesterday, Fox News' Brett Baer sat down with the actual Dalai Lama. Sat down with the Dalai Lama, and after an interview about a number of different things, he took up the very important question, the one we all have on our mind.
Last thing. Have you ever seen the movie Caddyshack?
What?
Caddyshack, the movie?
I don't know.
You don't know the movie?
I don't know.
The part about the Dalai Lama? Have you ever played golf?
No.
You're not a big hitter?
Then Batman.
But not golf?
No.
There's a classic movie called Caddyshack, where they talk about the Dalai Lama.
I see.
I had to ask you about it.
I don't know.
Well, thank you very much for the
thank
time.
Thank you.
Very appreciate it.
Thank you.
Now, the question is...
I had to ask him.
Question is, do you have the cold sweat going down Brett Baer's back as the interview goes south? Or, because I want you to play this again, or does it sound like he's messing with a llama? To me, it sounds like he's messing with a llama a little bit. You ever play golf? You ever play? You big hitter? Listen.
Last thing. Have you ever seen the movie Caddyshack?
What?
Caddyshack, the movie?
I don't know.
You don't know the movie?
I don't know.
The part about the Dalai Lama? Have you ever played golf?
No.
You're not a big hitter?
Then Batman.
But not golf?
No.
There's a classic movie called Caddyshack. Where they talk about the Dalai Lama.
I see.
I had to ask you about it.
I don't know.
Well, thank you very much for the
thank
time.
Thank you.
I can't decide. I really can't decide if he's messing with him or not. I love his response. What?
What?
What? And what does he play? Did he say badminton or backgammon? There's some sport that he says he plays.
I thought he said badminton. Because he makes a reference to, it looks like he's swatting at something.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, in the video.
I didn't see the video. Because I never watch video. I only listen to the radio. So badminton. The Dalai Lama talking about badminton. Does he keep the robot for badminton? It does not seem like that would provide a lot of mobility.
You know, whether he was messing with him or not, that was a little disrespectful.
Well, I don't know. It's funny. I think a lot of people watching would go, ask him. Ask him about Caddyshack! What? I don't know. It's Brett Baer getting to the root of the issue, the one we all wanted to know. The Dalai Lama's never seen Caddyshack. However, he is a big fan of meatballs. He loved the movie Meatballs. There was a camp in Tibet he went to as a kid. Brought back a lot of memories. It's 7:56. We'll take a break. Come back. Get your news in a moment. Dean after 8. This is 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah,
8:13 now, Dean Richards live at Channel 9. Let's start with a radio plug. You on Sunday?
I am on Sunday morning. We're going to be talking with Ellen DeGeneres, with Ed O'Neill.
Not familiar with their work.
They are two fairly successful actors / talk show hosts.
Which one is the younger lesbian?
Ellen DeGeneres,
all right,
I think is who you're talking about.
Got it.
I don't really know that much about Ed O'Neill's personal life.
Right.
They are voices in this new movie that's called Finding Dory.
Uh-huh.
We're also going to talk with the 11-year-old sixth grader from Aurora, Illinois, who got lucky, got cast as the voice of Nemo in the movie. So we're going to have that. And also...
I heard that kid's turned into a total diva.
I did hear something about a demand of red M&Ms only.
Right, and staying up past his bedtime. I mean, all sorts of nonsense coming out of his people
right.
Now.
I hear him snap at his parents the other day. I am staying up past 9 o'clock.
Well, but I heard they had to clear it with the agent. So in other words, they asked the kid to take out the garbage or make his bed, and he said, call my people.
Mom, I told you not to look me directly in my eyes.
No, I hear he's a fabulous kid, right? Just loving this. Why wouldn't he?
Delightful. Very delightful. His mother I met, also very, very delightful.
Yeah, good for them. It's fun.
You'll enjoy the interview. It's really cute. Also, Sunday, we're going to talk with Kristen Chenoweth. She's going to be at Orchestra Hall on Monday.
Be careful because you can step on her. She's tiny.
She would snap like a little twig.
Yeah, she's tiny. She's very, very small.
Yep.
All right, so let's get to the meatloaf story. What's wrong with him?
He collapsed on stage last night. He was doing a show in Edmonton, Canada. Was right in the middle of his song, I Would Do Anything But I Won't Do That.
Uh-huh. And tired of singing it, just went down?
That's what it looks like when you see the video. We've posted it on the web, where he's singing, he slows down, and then just falls to the floor.
Well, that's scary.
The paramedics took him to a hospital in Alberta. We just got an update a couple of minutes ago saying that he is stable and in good condition. So that's good news. But
what do we know, a heart attack?
They don't know. We know that since 2003, he's collapsed on stage twice. Once for something that was heart-related, once that he described as an asthmatic condition.
Hmm.
So we don't know if it's related to either of
those. What state of health is he in? Because he had fluctuated with his weight. He was up, he was down, that kind of thing.
He right now, looking at these pictures, he looks like he's put the weight back on. So
nice guy. I haven't seen him in years, but he used to come in and do the show quite a bit. And you know what? He was a big softball player. He'd come into town, he'd go over to Grant Park, and he'd jump on a team and play softball.
Really? I didn't know that.
Plus, the band had a softball team.
Never talked to him. I've talked with Pot Roast. I've talked with...
Pot Roast never caught on. Pot Roast was a rapper for a while.
Yeah. I've talked with some of the other comfort food. Fried
beef
chicken.
Beef stew? Beef stew? You were a big beef stew interview.
I was a big beef stew and a fan, and mm-hmm. Fried chicken. But never had the opportunity to talk with Meat Loaf.
Isn't Fried Chicken the one that told you to take a flying leap at the end of the interview, or was that Mel Gibson?
No, that was Fried Chicken.
Oh, that was Fried
Chicken. Fried Chicken was the first one to tell me that when I questioned his cholesterol rating.
Coming up, Wicked the movie, Amy Schumer doing the right thing, and Dean will actually review whatever movies are coming out this weekend, including a hilarious comedy from Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Really?
I didn't see it. I guess I'll be corrected.
Your review is as good as anyone else's.
You can travel Chicago. You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 972.
I know Dean joins me in wishing all dads a happy Father's Day this weekend.
And all new grandfathers, too. I don't know if we know any this year.
See a couple of new pictures I got of the kid yesterday.
It was great.
Yeah, she's so great. I mean, really, all the other grandkids should quit, Dean. Or should just resign now.
Is that a contest,
though? They should
though?
Try harder, that's all.
Yeah.
Shouldn't quit.
Kid's perfect.
That'd be a message to you parents out there. Cute your kids up a little bit.
Yeah, come on, work on it a little bit. You know, she drools like a champ. I'm telling you, she's teething, and she drools better than all the other kids.
Wonder who she gets that from.
That's the only thing her parents say reminds them of me. All right, Wicked's going to be a movie?
Yeah, they announced yesterday. It's not till December of 2019, but they are going to start working on it.
Well, so I have a chance to play the lead, then.
You do. We don't know if who is going to play the lead. Elphaba and Glenda, the witches, were played by Idina Menzel and Kristen Chenoweth.
Hey, you want to have some fun? Bring up Idina Menzel to Anna DeVlantis. And just start making up stories about another Frozen movie or play or TV show coming up.
Because of that?
Yeah, her beautiful little daughter is, I think, obsessed. 3.5, yeah. Maybe 4, but totally obsessed with Frozen. So she hears Frozen 9,000 times a day.
Well, there is going to be a follow-up to that. So
start sending her fake news stories. Hey, Anna, I just want you to know they're shooting the new Frozen in your neighborhood.
Maybe I can get, Kristen Chenoweth's going to be on my show on Sunday morning. Maybe I can get her to sing a special version of Frozen. Yeah.
That would be so great.
Just for Anna.
That would be so great. What's Amy Schumer up to?
She is working on a new movie right now with Goldie Hawn. It's Goldie Hawn's first film in 14 years. And there were supposed to be some scenes in the movie with, gunfire in it. Mm-hmm. And Amy Schumer asked that it be taken out of the movie, given all the... events that we've been living through for the past week. She just says that, we don't need any more of that up on screen right now. I give her a lot of credit.
Yeah, I do, too. And she's somehow related to Chuck Schumer, who is a weasel, but Chuck Schumer is going to take over for Harry Reid in the Senate.
Yeah,
Cousins.
Yeah, and Chuck Schumer is working on the gun thing, too. So good for her.
I got to say, I mean, the Dwayne The Rock Johnson Kevin Hart movie, Central Intelligence, that opens today, it's a lighthearted movie. It sort of also wants to be like a buddy action thriller. I was a little bit uncomfortable. There are some scenes where there are gunshots, and just because we've had
Hard to watch?
It's a little bit hard to watch after everything that we've seen this week.
I think it makes it. It feels to me in the trailer like the Schwarzenegger Danny DeVito thing. You know, big guy, little guy. Is that the same kind of vibe?
A little bit. Kevin, the movie opens in 1996. Kevin Hart was most likely to succeed in his senior high school class. He was class president. He was, you know, the guy that everybody loved. He was
taller then.
He wasn't much taller then. Dwayne The Rock Johnson's character was this fat, nerdy kid that everybody bullied, everybody made fun of, except Kevin Hart's character. He was the only one who was nice to him in high school. Fast forward 20 years later, now Kevin Hart's character is kind of a low-level accountant, kind of stuck in his career, stagnant in his marriage, going through a midlife crisis, and this nerdy kid shows up in his life again, only now he looks like Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He's ripped and muscled. He's a CIA agent, and he pulls his old high school friend reluctantly into a caper that he's working on. And that's where, you know, the alleged hijinks
hilarity begin. Ensues.
Alleged hilarity ensues. Movies, it's not sure if it wants to be a comedy or an action thriller. Storyline is really kind of pointless at times. But you know what? The charisma of Dwayne The Rock Johnson, the chemistry between these two guys, kind of makes this mediocre movie palatable. I gave it a Dean's List C.
What about Finding Dory?
Dory is a Dory Bull. See what I did there?
Yeah, I wish you hadn't. What can I do now?
Finding Dory. There's no editing on a live broadcast like
this.
Yeah,
that's true.
It's a Dory Bull. It's funny. It's exciting. It's touching. I don't know if it's Pixar's best sequel ever. Some people are saying that it is. I can think of some other sequels that Pixar had, like Toy Story and some others that were amazing. This one is very, very good. The voice characterizations in this film, I think, are especially good. Often you can pretty much put any voice in an animated film and it doesn't make much difference. But Ellen, Albert Brooks, Eugene Levy, Diane Keaton, Idris Elba, they really bring a lot to the voices in this movie. This one I really liked a lot, Dean's List A.
And
I don't know if I mentioned, it's a Dory Bull.
I know you did, yeah. Yeah. Aren't you talking to a couple of the stars from it on Sunday?
Yes, I am. Ellen DeGeneres, Ed O'Neill, and 11-year-old Hayden Rollins from Aurora, Illinois.
Yeah, who I hear curses at Dean at the end of the interview and storms off.
Yeah, he calls me the same thing that Mel Gibson did. First time ever an 11-year-old has done that.
It's a real shocking thing.
Who's not related to me.
Right, the 11-year-olds that are related to you, you're hearing that at every family reunion.
Yeah.
I asked a question this morning, Dean, because we're giving away some prizes to dads. As a kid, what did you do to really disappoint your father? And we've got some great texts here. 630 texter. My father was very disappointed with each of my first three marriages. 708 texter says, well, still living at home, I'd tell my dad I was going to 12 o'clock mass, but instead I go to Bleeker's Bowling Alley.
Mm.
One Sunday when I got home, Dad asked how church was. I said it was great. He go, how was Father Bleeker's sermon? Busted.
Wow.
Totally busted. 708 texter, back in grammar school, I volunteered my dad to be a judge for a school science fair. Didn't ask him first.
Well, that's not terrible. That's all right.
It's not that bad.
Well, it's kind of a nice story. Start sad. In the 70s, I got pregnant. I was unmarried. My dad didn't talk to me for 3 months, but he's now the greatest grandpa ever. So that's nice. That's nice, Kimura. Some of these, though, are pretty tough. There's some emotional stuff in here. And all I can tell you is, if you feel like you truly disappointed your father and your dad's no longer around to talk about it, all you can do is learn from the experience and move on. Don't let it crush your life, right?
When I was in sixth grade, Edward Cole School on the South Side, me and my mischievous little buddy, somehow we got the home phone numbers of our teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And one night at my house, we got on the phone, and for some reason we decided that I would be the best person to do prank phone calls.
Because you're a talker.
It was really my first voice-over job, where I was doing funny voices and, you know, the Prince Albert in the can.
Was that before Victory Auto Records or after?
That was 2 years. That was Victory Auto Records was 2 years before that when I was in sixth grade.
Yeah.
But we thought we had got away with this great scandal the next day. All of us, first thing next day in school, called into the principal's office.
Busted.
And my dad is sitting in the principal's office. They had called him. And he
That's a bad morning.
He was just sitting there, and I thought he was going to, like, I was going to be dead.
He was going to kill me right there.
That he was going to kill me right in front of everybody. And he just said, I cannot tell you how disappointed I am in you. And I don't think I have ever felt lower.
Well, that's the worst. I can tell you that. I remember the first time I said the F word. I didn't even know what it meant. And my brother was taking an extra turn on the snowmobile. And he passed me like one extra time. And I said, hey, you effer. And I turned to my left. And my father was maybe 100 yards away smoking a Pall Mall. Because that's what he did. That was his move. Yep. And I just saw him look at me. I was 6, 7 years old. So I'm looking at me, shake his head, turn around, and walk away.
Yeah.
Oh, the worst.
Oh, that's powerful.
The worst.
You knew the F word at 6?
Well, I knew how to pronounce it.
Okay.
Doesn't mean I knew what it was.
Did you know what it meant?
It was a rough neighborhood.
Did you just know that it was a bad word?
No, I really didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I still don't, by the way. So if someone could explain
it
to me,
it'd
be great.
I'll tell you later on. I'll show you some pictures.
One more texter. That's good. I always like the illustrations. We just gotten back from the store. The front door was locked, so my dad sent me back to the car to get the keys. Instead of just pulling them out of the ignition like a good 8-year-old ought to do, I decided to turn the keys forward. The stick shift in the car was left in gear. The car shot through the garage door with me sitting in the front seat. I'm 8. My dad's 65 Mustang, cherished, was in the garage. That stopped me from ending up in the kitchen. Of course, it didn't stop me from wrecking 2 cars at the age of 8.
Oh, that's rough.
He said, not a great day for my dad. So that between that and the kid that nearly bled to death trying to bring stolen flowers to his girlfriend at 15, I think those are the two are the two leaders so far. But keep those texts coming at 312-981-7200.
By the way, not that I'm holding on to this all these years, but if anyone knows who squealed on me with those phone calls.
Yeah, totally.
That I made.
I bet it was Potash.
Somebody, who's, how do the teachers, how did they know? How'd they get my dad there that early?
Larry the Weasel.
Even before me. Somebody is a weasel.
But totally it's good that you let it go, though, Dean.
Right. He's over it. He's completely over it. Enjoy your weekend, buddy. We'll hear you Sunday.
Happy Father's Day.
Thank you. Sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks. The 8 o'clock hour continues with a big story next.
Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN.
This explains the next stop on a WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour presented by Allstate. It's tonight, isn't it? Yeah, the download. Justin Kaufman live tonight, 7-11 at the Taste of the Splains. Well, if you kick off this year's event, will you find live entertainment, food and beverages and stuff? And Justin Kaufman live tonight. Parking and admission is free. It's in Des Plaines, not
yeah,
in Chicago.
No, I know. And but don't forget Chicago Ale Fest going on tonight at Buckingham Fountain. Our friends over at Chicago Ale Fest say come on by. They were in here last week serving all of us nice beverages.
Those are the guys that came in?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. But aren't you going to see Dr. Dingman tonight?
I might go see Dr. Dingman tonight. Yes, because he said I need to get out.
Right.
He said I needed to paint the town red instead of painting it black.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, it's 8:43. Let me just take you behind the scenes here on what happens on the show. Scheduled to appear at this time is Burt Ward, the original Robin from Batman. He's late for the interview.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that caused Sandberg to have to run out to me just before you and I started the segment to whisper to me, we don't have Burt Ward yet. And I mentioned to her, I said, how ridiculous is your job that you had to run out and tell me Robin's not ready to go on?
Is he putting on his tights or what?
The Boy Wonder. Wasn't it the Boy Wonder?
Yes.
Robin?
Of course.
Yeah, the Boy Wonder.
Holy showcase!
Now, I, of course... have a policy that if you blow off an interview, I don't rebook you. So what's our policy on Burt Ward, Robin?
Well,
I was a big fan of the show.
Yeah, so was I.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
He's a lot of people's young boys' childhood heroes, right?
Well,
holy popcorn.
But if something, see, the problem with the banning him or just saying he can't be on is something could have happened, right? Something,
yeah.
He's not a kid anymore. And then you don't want to find out that, you know, Burt Ward had a problem.
Right, or was sick, maybe.
Yeah.
Had a bad egg roll, something.
Well,
happened.
I'll tell you a story, and I still feel bad about this years later. Remember Maury Amsterdam?
Oh, I thought you were going to tell the Titanic story.
Well, no, I feel...
You have to tell both, come on.
I really don't feel so bad about that, because that was not my fault.
Well, now that we have all this time.
Buddy Sorrell,
yeah, exactly. The Titanic story in a second, but first, Maury Amsterdam, who played Buddy on the old Dick Van Dyke show.
Yeah.
When I was but a child. Yeah.
I was in college.
Yeah, Dave was in college.
I'm not quite sure who that is.
So I was in L.A. for something, and there were a number of people that we had to interview. I don't remember what it was. But anyway, I was a fan of the Dick Van Dyke Show, and I had no idea how big a deal Maury Amsterdam was. I was a kid. I was 25 years old or something. I had no idea how big a deal Maury Amsterdam was. Maury Amsterdam was a huge deal in comedy in the 40s and 50s and stuff. So Maury Amsterdam had agreed to do an interview, and he wanted me to come by his house.
Is this a true story?
It's a true story.
Okay.
So Maury Amsterdam, and this is the late 80s. Maury Amsterdam is like, I don't know, 80 maybe then, late 70s. Yeah. And Maury Amsterdam invites me to his house. So we're in L.A. We got a little sidetracked. So we end up going to Maury Amsterdam's house an hour late.
Oh, that's just weird.
It's rude.
It is rude. Especially it could have been stupid. Bedtime.
It's just weird that you're going to his house, though. Isn't
well,
it?
It's L.A. So we show up at his house.
You had a rave.
And there's a light. There's a light in the kitchen. And you look in through the kitchen window, like as you're walking up, you just see him in the kitchen. And he's sitting in a suit and tie.
Oh.
So this sweet little old man at that point dresses up in a suit and tie, and I make him wait for an hour. What a jerk.
That's mean.
And it wasn't intended to be that way, but it still is my fault.
Well, then tell the Titanic story.
But we did the interview. My point is we did the interview, and I ended up staying, I don't know, an hour and a half. He couldn't have been cooler.
Oh.
Couldn't have been a nicer guy. And, you know, he didn't even scold me. You know what he should have done? He said, listen, punk, you don't show up an hour late for an interview.
Is that what you would have said if you
That's
were waiting there?
That's what he should
there?
Have said to me.
Yeah, but what if you were older and you were waiting in your suit and tie?
I know the problem.
You wouldn't be in a suit and tie?
We found the boy wonder. We'll get to him in a second. Quickly, here's a Titanic story. So I'm on the old loop. Maybe it was AM1000. I don't remember. It was either the loop or AM1000.
It's funny now because it's been so long, right?
And there's a producer I used to reference all the time named Grunwald, who is still on the radio in Detroit because apparently he didn't know you couldn't leave. Because I was there for 3 years in 1999, and I actually left. Uh-huh. Grunwald books the last Chicago survivor of the Titanic. So whatever year that was, sometime in the 90s. And it's a Friday, like today. We get busy on a Friday. It gets to be the final hour of the show. And we get to the end of the show, and I feel like something was missing. And I said to Grunwald, I go, what happened to the lady from the Titanic? And he goes, yeah, we got long, so we bumped her to Monday.
Okay, so this is just a couple days later. It's not like you booked her a month later.
Yeah, she died that weekend.
Oh, jeez. Mm. So
but I didn't kill her.
No.
No.
I mean, it wasn't
what did you learn from that?
Well, not to bump any more Titanic people.
Over the age of
how many 90? Have you booked since?
Really none. Yeah, none.
Well, have there been any other survivors?
No.
Okay.
There aren't any new ones.
Well, that ship has sailed. that ship has sailed.
Sunk.
Sorry. Bad pun.
The ship did sail.
Bad pun.
Too soon? It was 1912. We found the boy wonder. We'll get to the boy wonder in just a second. Well, let me just say a quick hi. Is this the boy wonder?
Yes, I'm here. I heard Robin Ventura was late to an interview. I figured I'd call in early.
Oh,
it's Kevin Powell, the boy wonder. He'll be filling in for Burt Ward in just a moment.
So before, disappointed.
A little young.
Oh, the mighty have risen.
Oh, Dave
just goes, that's so disappointing.
I wanted to talk to Burt Ward. I love that show.
It's well, maybe tell your friend Robin to show up on time. If I bump him this weekend, anything's possible. I'm just warning you. This is the music they used to play as Batman and Robin climbed up the sides of buildings. And then stars from the 60s would pop their heads out the windows. Of course, Burt Ward didn't show up, did he? So we decided to go with Boy Wonder B. Kevin Powell joins us now. Good morning, Kevin.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Well, it's so great of you to step in for Burt Ward, Robin. Yeah. From, by the way, do you want to do the plug for his appearance if he had actually showed up for it?
Me?
Yeah, huh?
Burt Ward?
Batman's series is celebrating its 50th anniversary, and Burt Ward has something called the Gentle Giants Rescue. He saves dogs' lives and helps them live twice as long. I don't quite know how he does that, through Robin's magic.
He says his dog is 25 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's probably where he is, as opposed to doing the interview. He's tending to his 25-year-old dog.
Wow.
That was the producer of me. I was listening, and I heard that he blew you off. So so I figured I'd call in early. We were supposed to do this in about 20 minutes, but, you know, again, the producer and me figured I'd fill in for you.
Kevin, how do you know you weren't going to get bumped at 9:20? I mean, it seems pretty presumptuous that you thought you were going to make it on.
No, yeah, well, I didn't think I would get bumped. I just figured I'd help out and, you know, jump on now and fill in.
No, I appreciate you stepping in. All right, so our own boy wonder, Kevin Paulus here. Let's update the important thing first. How did the dating thing with the Roe extravaganza go?
Well, round three, we have a makeup date and time, which is to be determined because two of the latest contestants didn't show up the other day.
Oh, that's not good.
I know.
I know.
That's not good. It's like a blind date where somebody walks in, sees you, and leaves.
Yeah. He didn't think that till just now.
That's no good. Well, I'm sure it was nothing. I'm sure it was just they had plans. Were they with Burt Ward?
They possibly talking about the 50th anniversary of the Batman, whatever it was that Burt Ward was plugging.
Yeah.
Holy popcorn!
Yeah, they're probably a little intimidated, Steve. I mean, it's understandable from their perspective. So we're going to reschedule round three.
And the Rokon Show will continue to exploit Kevin for their entertainment value weekday afternoons. What time's Rokon?
3 to 7.
3 to 7. Okay. 3 to 7. Okay. All right, so let's talk a little baseball. What's going on with the White Sox?
Well, the White Sox started the season 23-10, and the season nosedived, and they went 10-23 the rest of the way. Again, I still think there's hope because of the division they're in, and just 2.5 back in the first place. Indians, huge series this weekend. Not exactly sure what's going on with James Shields, the starting pitcher they traded for a couple weekends ago. He's been awful in his two starts on the south side. They need to figure out something there, but playing in this division, I think they have a chance. Tim Anderson has been a complete spark plug for this offense. He went 3-for-5 the other day, a double, a couple singles, scored some runs. The guy can fly, so I think it changes up the lineup a little bit, allows Adam Eaton to go to the second spot. I think the bigger issue is Austin Jackson, who was playing defensively in center field phenomenally all season, and Adam Eaton was able to play in right field, which he's much better suited for. Austin Jackson gets hurt. He's out for 6 to 8 weeks. Adam Eaton has to go back to center field. We already saw Avi Garcia in right field. I don't ever want to see that again because it's really bad. So they've got some issues and some holes to fill. But, you know, the James Shields trade, what Rick Hahn did, you know, before the draft, and really trade talks don't start until after the draft, which was last week. So for Hahn to pull that deal off, which Shields, as bad as he's been, he was probably going to be, whether it was 2 weeks ago or you know, 2 weeks from
he's
now,
the go-to guy.
He was going to be the top starting pitcher to get. I mean, it's a thin market. So for Hahn to do that when he did it, when the Sox desperately needed to do something, I love the trade. And obviously, it hasn't paid off.
Ryan Dempster, you're familiar with him. He's fairly successful. He's he had a nice run as a pitcher. He told Dave Ennett and I, you might know Dave Ennett. Dave Ennett sports your boss.
Hi,
Dave Ennett and I both heard this from Ryan Dempster yesterday. Dempster said, and he said it before, he said Shields is going to be fine. He said, yeah, rough start, but he's going to be fine. He said he has total faith that Shields is going to pitch very well for the White Sox.
Yeah, he's an innings eater. He always pitches over 200-plus innings. He's somebody who can stabilize a rotation where really you've only had two pitchers that you can rely on, Chris Sale and Jose Quintana. Carlos Rodon has some question marks. And then, of course, the back end of the rotation, Matt Latos is gone. He was not good. Miguel Gonzalez, you can't rely on him. So James Shields, a veteran pitcher, you put in the rotation. Again, it lessens the stress on guys like Sale and Quintana. So, yeah, I do expect him to turn things around and start being his normal James Shields self. But not a good start for him in his first two starts.
No, and White Sox fans are no more patient than the other baseball fans, so he does need to get it together. Dave?
Is this a make-or-break stretch for the Sox, Kev? 10 straight against upper division teams, starting with Cleveland, which is still in first place, but just barely in the Central, then Boston, which has been back and forth with Baltimore for the top spot in the East, and then coming home to play a Toronto team that can put up a lot of runs.
So I think this weekend will be a good gauge as to who they are. You know, Wednesday night's win over Detroit, they take the series over, first divisional series win since the first weekend of May, which they swept the Twins, which I don't know if that really counts because it's the Twins, but still, it was a division win. And Wednesday night felt like a – it felt like the Sox from the first 33 games. You know, they got the runs over when they needed to. They win a 5-3 close game. It feels like we've seen three teams in town this season. The Cubs are doing what they're doing, and the Sox have been two completely different teams. So it's like three teams we've been watching all season. Make or break, Dave. You know, I mean, it can be if they go 2-7 on a 9-game stretch. I mean, sure, that's going to be a complete hole. It'll be eye opening for them and kind of put things into perspective of really where they are at a team. Because
so they need to win. They need to win. That's the summation. They need to win.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to say make or break because it depends. Yeah,
Dave,
on.
I don't mean take it back,
okay. Dave. Take it back.
Is he laughing at my question?
No, take it back.
I don't mean
I'm
make or
you,
break. I don't mean make or break in terms necessarily of what their one loss record is on the trip, or are they going to get
what,
knocked
make
out
or break
of
emotionally?
Contention? Yeah,
yeah,
basically,
right? Yeah. Getting right. A winning edge. Get the right. Attitude back. Get
are
the
you trying
swagger
to break
back.
Me emotionally? What's going on here?
I see what you're saying. I think a series win over Cleveland here, I mean, back-to-back divisional series wins would sure. Be huge for
win
this
the
team.
Weekend.
That's my point.
Win the weekend.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, we continue. It's 9:13. I just got the best Father's Day present. My daughter-in-law, Lauren, just brought Abigail Grayson. So Abigail Grayson's walking around the studio showing off. She heard that film folks were in the studio. She was obviously coming into audition. How great is that? What a bonus.
She just lights up a room, that little girl.
Lauren and Ross are on the way to a family reunion in the middle of the world. And, you know, it's a car trip. And Abigail, I didn't think I'd be seeing Abigail Grace for like a week or so. What a bonus. Thank you.
Look at that. Oh.
Happy Father's Day to me.
She's, look at the smile. Smile on that baby.
Isn't the show about me?
Oh yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. She's got more hair than you.
Yeah. You know what? She does. Yeah. And 6 months old today. Today is her 6 month birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. Give her a round of applause.
Happy birthday, Abigail.
We'll have her six-month-old birthday party on Wednesday.
Yeah, we always do it a week later. I remember vividly Amy, her aunt, who is 29. I remember breaking a candle in half and doing a, you know, the half birthday thing.
The six-month.
And I threw out the wick half. Well, you can't light that other part, Steve. No, but I remember having a half birthday thing. So, wow.
Her facial expressions are so cute.
She's keeping an eye on you, Darlis. I think she thinks you're shifty or something.
No, she was. I made her smile in the lobby.
Coming up tonight, speaking of June 17th, coming up tonight, the premiere of a film we'd all like you to see. It's called The American Side, and we have folks in studio who have blood, sweat, and tears over this for quite some time. I'm going to let you guys introduce yourselves for the sake of this, and we'll tell you more about the premiere, a retro noir thriller. How am I not in this? Your name is?
Greg Stuhr.
And Greg, you are?
I'm the co-writer and the lead actor. The
a lot of people should know you from Steppenwolf, right? If you're Steppenwolf fans.
Yeah, I did. I did. Bruce Norris is probably the controversial Bruce Norris play, The Qualms at Steppenwolf, 2 summers ago.
Yeah. And we got a lot of positive buzz.
Yeah, I mean, I love the play. I love working with Bruce. Love working with Steppenwolf. So
okay, we'll find out how you got involved in this. And you are?
Mary Henry, and I'm the executive producer.
Part of this, and let me explain to you something. Executive producer in show business. This means Mary has the biggest headache. Mary is the one that has to keep an eye on all the other people. Uh-huh. Mary's the one that has to go to the people that funded this. No, it's fine. You know how many times a day Mary has to say, no, it's fine?
Uh-huh.
Oh, unbelievable. Am I right?
I've described the job. Executive producer.
Yeah, the executive producer generally means the person who helps raise the money. Mm-hmm. There is a sort of more day-to-day producer who make sure that all the things
don't
are supposed
modest.
To happen.
You're the boss. You're the boss. You're the one that has
well,
to make sure everyone's
that
behaving.
Money makes things happen.
Well, yeah. In show business and in life. You know what we need is a director. Can we get a director?
Yes, you can. Hi, I'm Jenna Ricker. I am the director and co-writer for The American Side. Thanks for having us.
Nice to see you guys here. We love the Wilmette Theater. It's a beautiful, beautiful theater. And I've talked about this all the time. These community theaters, there's very few of the great ones left, and they need to be supported. And here's a chance to see a great movie and support the theater. Who got this project first?
Who do you mean? Which theater did it?
No, the American Side.
Oh, well, Greg had this idea kicking around for a little bit, and I lucked out meeting him and coming on board.
So, were you looking for a director?
Definitely. It was something that I'd been playing with for a while, and I was, just making my living as an actor, mostly in the theater. But loved film, always wanted to make a film, dreamt of making this film.
Because the idea is, a great idea just will stay with you, right? Just bounces around and stays with you, won't leave you. And you go, you know what, I got to finish writing it.
Yeah, exactly. And you get to a certain point, too, where you say, all right, Hollywood's not calling me to play a, low-rent detective in a Buffalo, New York set story. So... I'll make it.
And all the good superhero parts are taken right now.
Exactly. Yeah.
Gregman, though, would be a good superhero.
Yeah,
I don't know what your power is, but I think there's something
there. Gregman's good, yeah.
The power of persuasion, maybe.
So how'd you meet your director?
So Jenna and I actually met at a private school, high school in New York City. Because I know, it's very, yes.
It's like 24 odd. Jump Street where you guys are going back to play drugs?
I was actually undercover.
What were you doing?
I was a bald senior.
Was it career day or something?
No, I was actually helping out a friend. I was doing a Broadway play at the time, and a friend of mine was doing the lighting design for this show, and she asked me to come in and help focus the lights, because when you're in college, you work on crew for all these, So I knew how to do that, so I helped her focus the lights. Jenna was teaching playwriting there and costume design, and she was working on the show as well, and we started talking about movies, and we loved the same movies, and she was writing one at the time. I threw some ideas at her, and we decided she invited me actually to write it with her, and then that led to this project, which was something I had been tossing around that we ended up working on together.
So, Mary, what were you doing when they were hanging around in high schools?
Well, I was getting an advanced degree, I think, at that point.
Got it.
But I, before Jenna was working as a drama teacher at a private high school, she had just graduated from the NYU Tisch School with a degree in acting, and instead of working as a waitress as her day job, she was helping out at one of my kids' preschool, and.
This is all like a happy accident. You guys all just kind of banged into each other.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, so these kind of projects, I don't know if folks understand what a big deal it is to get a movie from conception to actually getting it made. So let's go on beyond the point where you've been thinking about it for years. You get a finished script, you're ready to move forward. How long between that point and this point where you show it tonight?
Abigail chiming in.
Abigail has a few questions.
Abigail's
that's exactly how we felt, Abigail.
She knows that's a tough question.
But we're talking at least a couple of years right ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think from the moment, so we had the script and we did this thing called a proof of concept trailer where we went up and shot elements of the story and edited it to make it look like a trailer, a finished film, because the reality was less people would read the script than would maybe watch a 2-minute promo. So we did that and started looking for investment then, and that was just under 2 years before we were on the ground with pre-production, getting ready to shoot.
Where'd you shoot it?
Buffalo and Niagara Falls.
Oh, beautiful.
Stunning. And
perfect place for film noir.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of great architecture like you guys
just
have
like
here.
Just like Chicago, yeah.
And sometimes Buffalo's black and white. You don't even need the help.
That's right.
So were you inspired by film noir as a kid? Did you just always think it was cool?
Yeah, I thought it was very, the films that our film referenced the most are early film noir, a little bit of Hitchcock, and those conspiracy films from the 70s. It kind of has a look of the conspiracy films of the 70s, which are essentially remade noirs. I mean, the tropes of those conspiracy films are very similar to film noir. So
we also have David Shire, the great composer of All the President's Men and The Conversation.
Wow.
So we have some 70s. Yeah. So, 70s homage that way, too.
And a great cast. We've got Robert Forster and Matthew Broderick and Camilla Bell. And it's
how
really,
great is that?
Alicia Bachlate. Yeah. It's a really cool cast.
Robert Vaughn.
Is that right?
Yeah, the man from
One
Uncle.
Of the
oh, that's excellent.
Seven.
Oh, yeah.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Well, what a thrill for you, man. You got this idea banging around, and now you're gonna do it tonight.
We're
super excited.
Yeah, we're playing at the Wilmette, which is a great theater. We're happy that they invited us in.
Andrea, last one for you.
Oh, I just love, I'm glad you're bringing back the Hitchcockian films because, so much goes into that with the editing and the camera angles and things. I took a Hitchcock film in class, so it's very
that would have been
personal.
Great.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
so cool.
Well, I hope you
but
check
I
it out.
I love those movies.
Yeah. Check it out because I think you'll like some of the architecture serves as like a trumping our main character. He literally is you know, that gets bigger than him, just like Mount Rushmore, just like some of these great set pieces that Hitchcock had. You know, we had fun making Charlie Pazinski, the character that Gregster plays. You know, the falls literally are the biggest, but even the other industrial great buildings, you know, as the film progresses and he gets in more over his head, so does he get smaller.
Literally.
Yeah.
And if you're a film buff, there's lots of little Easter eggs in here. You'll find, you know films, you'll look through this and you'll see, oh, that's a little reference to that or a little nod to that. So it's sort of fun.
Great idea to rewatch it. All right, EP. Distribution's the key now because there's 5,000 ways to distribute a film. So you're going to premiere it tonight. If people, for whatever reason, can't see it tonight, when are they going to get to see it?
They can see it on demand as well. Good. Well, first of all, it will be at the Wilmette Theater for the next week.
Good.
And Jenna and Greg will be there doing a Q&A after, so you can see it then. But it's also available on demand on, you know, iTunes and Hulu and Amazon. And then it will be available on Netflix starting in August.
Excellent. Well, I'm really happy for you guys. It's a great story.
Thanks for having us.
And I'm looking forward to seeing it.
I think you'll like it.
I want Abigail to come see it.
Yeah,
I'll hold Abigail outside while people watch.
Because you've seen it?
Yeah, because I've seen it. And
you've
she's
seen it, you know
so
it's good. Yeah, thank you. But congratulations. I know a little bit about what a big deal it is to get this far. So great cast and nothing but upside. It's called,
thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, thanks for coming. It's called The American Side. Tonight, Wilmette Theater, 7 o'clock. Any seats left? Notice how I went to you, money woman.
I'm sure things could be arranged.
Okay. All right. So an opportunity tonight. But if you can't get there tonight, see it this week or see it on demand and spread the word.
Absolutely. Awesome.
Buzz it up. Social media people. And we want to make sure Greg stays off the street. It's and all of his friends. It's 9:23. More in a moment on 720 WGN.
Abigail is taking over the show.
Yeah. Yes.
Abigail Grace visiting the studio this morning in my unexpected Father's Day present / Grandfather's Day.
Can we ask you, how does it feel to be the not most popular Cochran in the room?
Oh, please. I'll trade this off any day you want. Hi, kid.
It's funny how she looks at you. She's like, what the?
She goes, man, He goes, you sort of look like my dad, but you're way, way older.
And have less hair.
Here's the thing. We're taking more texts from these texters who want to tell us about the ways you disappointed dad. 815 texter says, came home at 3 in the morning after a night at the bar. Dad asked me if I was drunk. My response was, not according to the county sheriff's department. Wrong answer for dad. 224, I went to a Catholic school, and every Friday we raise money for foreign babies who didn't have homes. Our teacher would then hang one of these certificates and name one of the babies after somebody in the class. I broke into my father's private coin collection in hoping to get one of the saved children named after me and gave the coins to the school. He was not happy. What do you think, Abigail? How are we doing so far? And 956 texter, when I was in sixth grade, I prank called my principal and told him I was really mad, called him a bald-headed weasel and said I was going to murder him.
Oh, not cool.
Dad wasn't happy. Growing up on a farm, 815 texter, my chore was to put the goats in the barn at night. I hated it. So in fifth grade, I led two of my smaller goats into the house where dad was sleeping and let him start chewing on his beard.
Oh.
He woke up in the middle of the dream and thought Satan had entered his room.
Okay, that's really weird.
Yeah, and the texters keep coming in. Here's one that's kind of sweet. My dad didn't graduate from high school. I was the oldest of five and the first to go to college. When I dropped out after the first semester, he was very distressed. I was in love, and I moved to Iowa and got married. He passed before his first grandchild was born, but I was very proud that I'd become a nurse, and I think about him every day. It's nice, isn't it? It's a sweet story. It really is.
It is sweet.
Very nice.
If you're watching on WGNradio.com and you hit the watch button, you can see Abigail Grace taking over the studio right now. She's smiling at Andrea, and she is trying right now to rip the WGN sign off the microphone. She's actually trying to bite the microphone. And when I think about how many people have touched this microphone, it's like I wouldn't let this face near it.
Look at that baby.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN.
All right, 9:41 now. You know, I have a couple of ideas on how to get beyond the Pulse nightclub in Orlando and finally do something, because we're going to, leading up to Monday, where we're going to have four bills in the Senate, two on the Dem side, two on the Republican side, that'll be voted on. Is there a chance we may finally get a little movement on sensible gun legislation? This all seems to revolve around the terror watch list, and the obvious question, if you can't fly, you shouldn't be able to buy a gun. Seems logical. But there's roadblocks to it, which is part and parcel of why people just feel that politicians are completely and totally useless. But before we get to that, let me back it up one more step. The family of the guy that invented the AR-15, there were a team of people that originally did the AR-15. Let's stop with its discussion that it's purely a sporting rifle. With the adaptation for it to be a sporting rifle, it has become the most popular sporting rifle, and there's 12 or 15 million of them in the country now. Having said that, the fact that you operate yours legally doesn't change the fact that the majority of the mass killings, the worst killings, also have AR-15s as part of the story. And what I said the other day, and I stand by it, at the bare minimum, let's limit the carnage of the next one. And it may sound cold, but it's hard to believe there won't be a next one. And it's hard to believe in the next one there won't be more people that have to huddle in a bathroom or hide out somewhere else. And the fact is, if the crazy person has a handgun and doesn't have an AR-15 where they can squeeze off a shot after shot after shot with high-capacity magazines, then maybe more people will have time to run. Maybe somebody will have time to try to jump on him and stop him. Maybe, maybe, maybe. Well, let me tell you something. The power of maybe matters. And if you're trapped in a building and that next crazy person has a gun, it's going to matter to you too. We're very fortunate it hasn't happened here, but it can happen anywhere at any time, as has been proven again and again and again. Today is the one-year anniversary of the South Carolina church massacre.
Yeah.
People at a Bible study at church massacred. Why? Well, because they were black. And just go up and down the list since Columbine. And over again, one of the central things is the AR-15. So I have no beef with you, the legal AR-15 owner. All I would ask of you is, can you stop for a minute and pause and say, A, thank God it's not my family, and B, yes, we have to keep this powerful gun out of the hands of a crazy person? That's the segue into what the discussion of these bills would be on Monday night. So we know where Kirk and Durbin stand on this, at least we think we do, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't drop them a note and say, I want sensible gun legislation passed. Sensible meaning universal background check and the inability for, just it's the bare minimum, universal background check and the inability for someone on a terror watch list to be able to buy a gun. I wouldn't even ask for the five-year thing that the Democrats are asking for. The Democrats are saying, if you were on a terror watch list in the last 5 years and you're not on it anymore, could you buy a gun? Mm-hmm. I'm not even asking for that. Because, you know, you ask for too much, in quotes, you're going to have nothing but trouble. So send a note to your congressman. Send a note specifically to your senators. If you're listening in Wisconsin, send a note to your senators. If you're listening in Iowa, in Minnesota, in Michigan, in Indiana, anywhere around the country. If you're listening online, stop this weekend. Google your zip code. If you don't know who your senators are, Google your zip code. Find out who your senators are. And just drop them a note. Just drop them a note. Say, I expect you to support sensible gun legislation and to do something. Because here's a bulletin. Doing nothing isn't changing anything. So I'm not here to indict anybody's gun. Fortunately, with the amount of guns that we have in this country, 99.9% of the people are operating with them legally. But all of the BS excuses you continue to hear, it's not the gun, it's the people with the gun, it's everything else. Well, tell that to the families that met with President Obama yesterday who have 49 dead bodies, that they have to go to funerals and they have to go to memorial services. Tell it to them. Explain your logic to them. Explain why it's more important for your ability to have the AR-15 or to be able to buy the next one or your ability to have the high ammunition magazine. Why that's more important than because here's what it comes down to. Your constitutional right and my constitutional right to buy a gun, it's important. It's in the Second Amendment. You know what else I ought to have the right to? Not be murdered. I'd have the right to not be murdered. You ought to have the right to not be murdered. And so should your kids, your parents, your aunt, your uncle, and anybody else you know.
I would think, too, that law-abiding gun owners would want others to follow the same rules that they abide to.
The vast majority of legal gun owners in this country, it's not close.
Yes.
The vast majority of legal gun owners in this country, poll after poll after poll after poll, say the same thing. Yes, we don't want terrorists on terror watch lists to be able to buy a gun. Are you kidding me? You talk about a no-brainer. Because I brought this up at the top of the show. If you want to make it okay, like I'll give you an example. Congressman Steve King from Iowa, who said, well, they have a right to buy a gun, too. They're just on the terror watch list. It might be a mistake. Okay, roll that dice. If you're going to roll that dice, I'm going to roll this dice. Let's just cancel the TSA. Let's just take the TSA out of the airports. Let's move the metal detectors. Let's just everybody, hey, take a shot. You know what? Terrorists have a right to fly as well. If they're on the terror watch list, we're not going to need the watch list anymore. We can save a bunch of money. The TSA is a very expensive program for that. You know, matter of fact, maybe we don't need Homeland Security. I mean, if you're going to decide what's going to keep us safe, but you're what's going to keep us safe, is you're going to roll the dice on the AR-15 or on high-capacity magazines in any nut's hands. There is no foolproof system. There is no way to cure it. But the fact is, it may help. And you know what doesn't help? More excuses and more cliches. So I'm fully down with, if we're not going to do anything about guns, get rid of the TSA. I'm tired of taking off my shoes at the airport.
I'm waiting in the line.
So let's just roll the dice. Let's see what happens. Let's get on the airplane. Hope for the best.
That's extreme, but you're right. I mean, I could definitely, you have a point.
And the last point of this. Don't hide behind the Second Amendment and claim this is what the founders wanted. Any reading of the Second Amendment as it was drafted by the founders of this country, any reading of that has to come with the understanding that at any given time, the very young United States could have fallen apart. Or the leadership of the government, where you didn't have any internet or television or telephones or contact with, and all you had was an occasional pamphlet or maybe the earliest forms of what would become newspapers as your news source. News was passed village to village. Play the telephone game. See how that works out for you. And the fact is, the founders would be sick to their stomach if they came back and they saw what was happening now. It was not the intention. It's no more the intention of the guy that invented the AR-15 that it would end up in civilian hands or be used by terrorists than it is for the founders of this country to say the right to keep and bear arms means that you get an AR-15 for sport shooting, and if it ends up in a terrorist's hands, whatever. It just couldn't be a bigger pile of BS. So please contact your senators and your congressmen this weekend and do it selfishly. Do it for your own safety and for the safety of people you love, because it's going to happen again. It's 9:48. More in a moment. 720 WGN. When's the last two episodes of the OJ thing? Did it wrap up tomorrow night? Because I've only seen through three. Have they done episode four yet?
I don't know.
I'm through the one where they just finished the Bronco chase.
I think that's two.
Okay, then yeah. I'm on two.
Yeah, so my Cracker Jack research staff is on it right now. And they get free Cracker Jacks, provided they come up with the answer. More dad texts. When I was 12, I had a paper route. One time I was sick, I had an alternate paper boy who would deliver my papers. We had to deliver the papers to an apartment complex, and my dad's 75 Granada got stuck in the ice. He asked me to get in the driver's seat. Now, that's where you got to picture this, okay? The kid is being driven by his dad on the paper route. Okay. Car gets stuck. It's wintertime in Chicago. Now he asked me to get in the driver's seat and hit the gas when he said go. He said go. I hit the gas. The car took off. And when it hit a dry spot on the pavement, it kept going. My dad ran next to the car and said, hit the brakes! Hit the brakes! Hit the brakes! I hit the brakes. He then slid on the ice past the car and went flying down the street. He's never let me live that down. These are the stories. These are the stories that get told every Thanksgiving. These are the stories you tell over and over again at family times. Yeah. These are the stories where you almost run over your dad that are just great.
Mm-hmm.
Great. You got one, Dave?
Time that my dad took me fishing. I love to go fishing with my dad.
Yeah,
as we're getting the fishing rods out of the trunk, the hook on mine went right through his thumb and stuck.
Oh, sweet.
And I watched as he broke into it. Now, here's the other part. My dad hated fishing. Now he had a fish hook in his thumb, and he's in a cold sweat.
Here's a bonding point with my boy.
Yeah.
I'm going to take Opie out to the fishing hole.
Exactly.
That's sweet. 847 text, your dad had a new Plymouth with a push-button transmission. You remember those? The push-button transmissions?
I don't.
Oh, yeah, they were going to last forever. Got stuck in the snow on the lake with my girlfriend, and I gunned the engine and kept pushing buttons between drive and reverse. Blew out the transmission on Dad's car. So these are, you know, and did you notice most of these are sons disappointing their dads? There's very few daughters.
They are.
I have one.
I don't think I ever disappointed.
Mary, you're disappointed then?
Oh, yeah.
What'd you do?
My dad was a musician, and I really wanted to quit piano. And I was about 16. You know, you're in high school, and it's just, it was dragging me down, the practicing, and I couldn't do it. I practiced for 10 years, and I wanted to quit, and it was the hardest thing I ever had to do was tell him I wanted to quit.
What did you want to quit?
Piano.
So what did he say when you quit?
He just said, okay, you know, whatever you want to do. Plus, my piano teacher was his friend, so that made it even harder, because whenever his friend would come over and teach you, they'd come to your house to give you a piano lesson at those days, and, you know, he would chat with them, and they'd goof around, and, you know.
But. Dave, I don't know if you found this, Mary, but what I found with my own kids, owning and operate a couple, you have this vision of what you'd like them to do and what you think they'd like to do. And then it's just a series of giving it up. You go, okay, well, that's not going to work out. That's not going to work out. That's not gonna, and in the end, all you want them to be is happy.
Absolutely.
You just want them to be happy.
I bet you guys didn't disappoint like you think you did.
Parents?
Yeah.
I disappointed my dad when I wrecked his car.
Well,
I think that's fair.
That part, maybe.
Yeah.
But overall.
And when I put the fish hook in my dad's thumb. I mean, I didn't mean to.
Yeah, I mean, he...
I'm did you
sure
throw him back?
That part.
Yeah, I did.
Did you throw
catch
him
and release?
Samber?
I think when I voted for George W. Bush the second time.
Okay, that could be it. We have a winner.
Your dad a hardcore Dem?
Not hardcore. He's more liberal, but he's definitely not Republican and doesn't think he's smart. So,
how do you raise a Republican?
I think I raised that part myself. I don't know. I was like a little bit like Alex Keaton.
The female Alex Keaton.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
Your hippie parents.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Very. And I needed to rein them in. So ironically, my sister used to ask my dad, I want you to be more like Bill Cosby.
No.
That was a much better story prior to the last year.
No,
or so.
That was circa.
Yeah. Like from the Cosby show. Can I just tell you, O.J. Simpson made in America? Friday tonight at 8 p.m. Central.
That's part four.
And then part five is Saturday at 8 p.m.
Okay. Did they skip a night or something?
They skipped last night.
They did. Okay.
Probably because of the NBA.
Oh, good point. Yeah. They didn't want to compete.
ESPN knows their audience.
Yeah, a little bit. ABC doesn't want to compete with ESPN on a big night. So tonight and tomorrow night. And I'm telling you, you should watch it.
The schedule I just gave is running on ESPN. So.
Okay.
The game was on ESPN.
You should definitely watch it.
It's really good. You cannot stop watching it.
Yeah, and there is stuff you don't know, like the fact that Johnny Cochran's co-attorney, who you never saw much of, was a complete weasel.
And the Bronco chase was part three, Andrea.
It was part three. Okay, yeah. Good.
That was part three?
You know what I love, too?
Yes.
The different, not only the different camera angles, but the photos that you saw that they took from inside the house.
Oh, there's tons of stuff that you've never seen before.
I haven't watched
I'm not giving anything away.
Yeah, really?
He's in jail, Dave.
In the end, the boat sinks.